Hello, welcome to the Crippled Crisp Review with Captain Kane Marijn.
And Brace Boy, or Sam. And this is episode 3 of season 1.
Episode 3 of season 1. And we have some wonderful things for you coming in this episode. Yeah, maybe we should go on with what you've all been waiting for. The Crisp Reviews. We have a very wonderful nacho cheese dip chips for all your dipping pleasures. I'm not sure if that's part of the title of the crisp, but
that's the title, I think. Or a quote line, I don't know, something like
that. They are nacho cheese.
They are nacho cheese, and they're from the Jumbo home brand. Maybe we should mention that. And we
baked 100% sunflower oil, and it's the you already said it. It's the home brand of the Jumbo, which is quite a big supermarket. We are going to find out if this is something you can buy for a party.
Yeah.
Oh wait, I need smell.
Oh, you need smell, of course.
And you too. Yeah. They smell like nacho cheese.
Yeah, but you mostly smell the corn. The corn tortilla crisps.
I'm not entirely convinced of the flavor.
Not whether really a cheese flavor. It's more salty than cheese.
Yeah, and more of the corn.
It's more corn crisp than cheese.
Yeah. They have a good crunch.
Yeah. Way better crunch than the crisps of last week.
Yeah, but they were cheapy even.
Well, but these aren't expensive as well.
Okay.
Quick roundup.
Yeah. Okay.
Smell.
Smell. Corn and not a bit of nacho cheese.
Yeah. Taste.
Well, typically nacho chip, although I might prefer a little bit more of the cheese taste.
Yeah.
I don't taste that much of it.
Me neither. And then texture, it's a nice crunch.
It has a nice crunch, yeah.
I think this one would do great with a little bit of a guacamole or a good salsa, if you make a good salsa yourself. Or
maybe even if you would do a big bowl of nachos with
cheese on top,
minced meat and cheese and
some beans. Yeah, that, I think they're great for that purpose. You have to eat this. They are not called dip chips.
Without a reason.
Without a reason. That's what I want to say. What? How many out of five? How many crisp bags?
I'd say 3.
3.
Generic.
I generic. Would give them 1.5. It's quite high for these crisps. We can have our own opinions.
We are going to fight about that.
Yeah. We have our own opinions. That's fine.
So, we have another nacho chip crisp.
And this is a brand I think all our foreign listeners will know as well. Doritos. They're quite popular, I think, worldwide. And this is also the nacho cheese flavor.
And
we want to see what the difference is.
Yeah.
Let's open them up.
Let's do it.
This is more of a cheesy smell already.
Oh yeah. Yeah, this is no doubt about it. Please have one.
They're less crunchy.
Yeah, this is what I remember Doritos nacho chips to be like.
But also not a strong smell taste of cheese.
No, but more than the other nacho chips.
Yeah, but I prefer them a little bit cheesier, even. And they're not as crunchy.
No. I like them better than the other.
I don't know, maybe I think I like the other ones better. Let's do a quick roundup.
Okay, well,
Smell
is okay. Not as cheesy as I would have expected.
Taste, a little bland. If I might say so. The other ones are at least a little bit salty. I miss a little bit of salt in this as well.
Yeah, you're right.
The texture, they break too easily. It's not a clear snap. It's more of a crumble.
Yeah, they're a bit flimsy, like the crisps of last week.
Yeah. A little flaky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would give these one crisp bag out of five.
Yeah, I give them... I do like the taste. I give them two bags.
Okay.
But wait. Most important thing...
Then you give the nacho cheese more stars. More
these.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like these better. Because yeah. I think I'm not going to use the Doritos in a nacho...
No, they are way more
in
way
a nacho
too expensive for
dish.
That. They are way too expensive for that. This is the Doritos are like €1.50. And this dip chips. The dip chips are, I believe, 90 cents to a euro.
Maybe these are indeed more intended for dipping.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Yeah.
I would use these in a nacho dish, and I wouldn't use these the Doritos in a nacho dish. So I like these better. I like the nacho cheese dip chips better than Doritos.
Yeah, me as well.
Important question: is this a flavor saver?
Probably, because they are better than the expensive one. But then it's a flavor saver in a certain branch of crisps.
Yeah.
It's not. I wouldn't recommend buying these crisps if you aren't going to do anything with them. You have to buy... You have to make a guacamole or get a salsa or put them in an oven with some cheese on it, and then with some sour cream and some beans and some
so not necessarily a flavor saver. Well,
it's not really a flavor saver, but they are the better alternative though.
Yeah.
Again, we have a nice little trivia of the podcast for you guys, and
as usual,
and again we had quite a hefty discussion which topic should get the spotlight this podcast, and we still have a long list of candidates for other podcasts to go.
But
eventually we concurred, we came to one topic, and that's metal.
I think it's a topic that we both hold dear.
Yeah, dear to our hearts. And I want to talk about a great guitarist named Tony Iommi. And Tony Iommi was the guitarist, or is the guitarist, of Black Sabbath. Black Sabbath doesn't really perform anymore. They're kind of officially disbanded a year ago, I think, and a little over a year ago even. And the beautiful, interesting thing about Tony Iommi, Black Sabbath, it's known to be the band that created the metal genre, the front father of a genre that is now known to be the genre that sells the most concert tickets, the most of merchandise, the most CDs of all other music genres that you can buy tickets, merchandise, and CDs in. Keep that in mind, people.
Completely agree, although I'm not sure about the numbers, but I trust you.
I will put the numbers in a link in the description.
I trust you.
But the reason metal music is all about guitars, and just like a lot of other types of music, it's all about guitars, electric guitars, that is. But the metal is also about a certain chord you play on that before mentioned guitar.
Are you talking about the tritone?
The power chord, indeed, yes.
Nah, the tritone is something, but that's more musical, but yeah. The power chord.
And the legend has that the power chord was invented by Tony Iommi, which is true, but that he invented it because he was already a guitar player that played a lot of blues and jazz music and a little bit of psychedelica. And then he came, and then he worked as a part-time job. He worked in a metal industry workshop near Birmingham, where he lived. During one of his working days, he, by accident, with a great big steel plate machine, he cut off his tops of his fingers, of his ring finger and his middle finger, to be exact.
That makes playing his guitar a lot harder.
Yeah, and because of he didn't have the tops of his fingers anymore. He needed to find a new sound on his guitar. And he also needed to put some fabric, some plastic on the tops of his fingers so he could still use these fingers to play music. And that's the reason why he eventually invented the power chord, so he could use those two fingers less when he was playing his music.
Okay, but the you were talking about he lost top of his middle finger and ring finger?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, so he still had his pinky.
Pinky and his index finger.
Then you used to play the power chord, you just used your index finger and your pinky.
Indeed.
And you, well, with the plastic tips on
with
it,
the plastic
he,
tips
could
on it, he could use
them, variations.
He used variations with his ring finger.
Yeah.
But he, it's actually quite interesting because I read his autobiography a couple of years ago. And what was really interesting is that he explained that he actually used leather from an old jacket, I believe. Or was it a glove? No, it was from a jacket. He used leather from an old jacket to put on these little plates he manufactured for his fingertips.
Okay.
And these little fingertips he created himself, of course, they weared and teared with use. And he played a lot of guitar. He played a lot of long tours and a lot of long hours in studios, recording a lot of amazing music. So he always saved that jacket to cut out new pieces of leather to recreate his fingertips when the leather on his old fingertips would go bad, when they would break down.
Okay.
And that's I think that's quite an interesting fact. Quite an interesting little unuseful knowledge you can throw out when you're you're at a concert.
Tommy Yomi, inventor of the power chord.
Yeah, I mean, when you're waiting in line for your next metal concert, you can just share this with the guy standing in front of you while you're drinking a beer.
And, well, would you do that? Because people at a metal concert probably already know it.
When you're waiting in line for the next London Symphonic Orchestra, you can also share this information with some other music lovers that maybe know a little bit less about metal.
Are a little bit less interested in metal, maybe, as well.
Maybe, indeed. But this brings us to our next topic.
Yeah.
And that's, like we introduced last week during the podcast, we want to talk
more music.
We want to talk about more music.
Yeah.
So let's start to talk about that. We want to talk more about music in this podcast because it's also part of our show, I think, of Prophets of Imperfection.
Well,
talks about a little bit of music and our preferences in music. And we want to talk about...
And in metal.
And in metal. And we want to talk about metal music. So we already briefly discussed Black Sabbath, Tony Iommi in Black Sabbath specifically.
Yeah, and I believe you said that Black Sabbath was the forefather of all things metal.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, I think that, they were not the only ones.
Please explain your opinion.
Well, you also have Led Zeppelin, and you have Deep Purple, and...
But Led Zeppelin, nobody describes Led Zeppelin as a metal band.
I can agree with that.
Led Zeppelin is blues. There are people that say that it is blues rock and maybe call it hard rock even, but it's totally different than metal. Deep Purple, as you just said, I give you that. That's more of a metal type of band.
Yeah, maybe not really metal, but it was preceding Black Sabbath. Towards metal.
Yeah, but you have to understand that Deep Purple, of course, Led Zeppelin is older than Black Sabbath is, but Deep Purple is about from the same time as came up in the same years, the late 60s, early 70s, and that's also the beginning of Black Sabbath. So I think those two bands can be, so you're right, on the one hand, Black Sabbath isn't the only forefather of metal, but I think...
Teach me!
I think they both had a role in this process. And I think if you look at bands that came a little bit later, like
Well, you
like,
would
like Judas Priest, and a little after that, or a little bit in the same area, Hawkwind. Hawkwind is maybe a little bit from the same period as Deep Purple already was, but Hawkwind was greatly inspired by Deep Purple. And
okay,
I think
so
I think the metal genre was greatly created by these two bands, by Black Sabbath and
Deep Purple.
And in a way, Sabbath and the style Tony Iommi tries to play in his music is, of course, also inspired by Led Zeppelin and everything.
Well, what I remember is that Tommy Iommi, as a guitar player, is also seen as the forefather of riffs, guitar riffs.
That's mostly because of iconic riffs like the one from Iron Man and stuff like
for
that.
For example.
But I'm not... I think Jimi Hendrix already had some great guitar riffs before that, and you could, I mean.
Yeah, but Jimi Hendrix is not known for iconic riffs such as Iron Man, for example, Paranoid. Jimi Hendrix is more for the general style of playing guitar,
and
Tommy Iommi put the riff on the map.
But that's also what progressive metal nowadays is doing. The bands that are heavily inspired by Black Sabbath nowadays, the modern bands that are heavily inspired, are all about repetition of a riff, all about small variations on one combination of chords, one little riff that you drone out. That's what a lot of progressive stoner metal nowadays does. Stoner, doom, sludge metal goes into that, and that's something that Tony Iommi created together also with Geezer Butler, the bass player of Black Sabbath. Mm-hmm. That they created this wall of sound, as Tony calls it himself in his autobiography. He said, like, because they played more towards each other, you get this wave of bass and guitar mixing together with one riff that rules them all.
Yeah, something that as a tidal wave overflows you.
Yeah, that's a special sound that a lot of bands nowadays try to recreate. Mm-hmm. And try to get their own little thing in, I think. Their own twist on, in a sense.
Yeah.
And that's quite interesting. But, of course, I think, of course, a lot of other metal bands are really inspired by Led Zeppelin and Deep Purple. I mean, Iron Maiden, one of the biggest metal bands still to date, and maybe of all time. I think they probably have sold the most albums in metal history.
And most loyal fan base.
I should look this up. This is out of the top of my head, but they are a classic band that are worldwide known. They play another sound. They don't play the slow wall of sound that Black Sabbath does, and
they are definitely faster and with more gallopy riffs.
Yeah, they're more inclined to be descendants of a Deep Purple, indeed, or maybe a Led Zeppelin in a sense. And they, of course, have an all different sound, but the faster paced music is more of that inclination, I think. Let's go on to the next subject.
We also want to talk about all things disabled.
Yeah.
And so, Sam has work, a job, official job, and I don't. I'm looking for work.
Yeah, and what is interesting, we together, we discussed this quite a lot. We also discussed it with other friends and stuff.
Yeah.
But your quest for some paid employment is quite interesting, because you're a very intelligent person, and I something
thank you
that,
for that
something that mm-hmm. that can be found. Of course, you have a disability. This is quite obvious, but for the listener, this might be news. Marijn can't work 40 hours a week.
No, it's probably half.
So 20 hours a week. But max. Nowadays, in this new day and age of working and also working with millennials, a lot of millennials say, I don't want to work all week. So there are new jobs in the millennial age that those are able-bodied millennials, but that they have other aspirations to do something creative next to their work, or they want to have time to
travel. Because I don't have any of that.
but nowadays the idea of you don't live to work but you work to live is coming up more than that. You used to be able to you used to just, when you finished your studies or when you got out of school, you got a job, you worked at, you got two vacations a year, one at Christmas, one in the summer, and then when you were 65 or around 65, you got your pension, you retired, you got your pension, and 5 years later you fell dead on the ground and you were buried back into the ground or burned or whatever your religion tells you to do. But you are part of a new generation, which I'm also part of, and I see a lot of younger people that are able bodies that still say, I don't want to work a full 40 hour work week. Let's say I want some have some time to do some creative stuff, to have some free time to go to the,
to open some cupcakes cupcake stores,
or do walks. Everybody nowadays has a digital camera and makes pictures all day. So I mean, everybody is is a photographer.
Yeah, what's and up
if,
with that?
And if they aren't a photographer, they're a stand-up comedian. That's about the difference. So I'm actually, Marijn, please tell me, because what is very interesting, Marijn does spend a lot of time in search of a job.
I do.
Yeah.
And I do quite a lot of charity work.
You do a lot of charity work.
Because I think that's important. Yeah. That's where a lot of energy is going into. But
You do that charity work also to try to get a paid position.
Yeah. Well, not to form a gap on my CV.
Yeah. But also to.
I want to stay busy, and of course I also do it to build my network.
Yeah.
To get to know people. And
but you one of your charity jobs is
client council.
You're in a client council that gives advice to a very big company.
It's more
a government agency. Let's call it a government agency. Let's not call out which one it is, because this might be subject to some
a government agency
that has publicly stated, and a government that has publicly stated, that more disabled people should get a job.
Yeah.
That more disabled people are able to work. It's something that we both agree on strongly, I think.
We agree that
a lot of disabled people that now are sitting at home on a couch eating crisps all day can do something useful for society and have a job. And function inside of this beautiful country we have here.
Yeah.
And what I find interesting, you give advice in this client council you are part of, but you give advice about how they could better incorporate people with a disability better be of service to people with a disability.
It's more that.
Yeah.
Part of the agency is giving a welfare to people who are not able to work or are unemployed for a short period of time, and I advise this company, together with the rest of the council, of course, to how to improve the
the way of they give service and,
yeah.
And also communicate yeah. with the people that get welfare. Is yeah. that what I can I?
Well, yeah. Basically, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does that help? Yeah. This description, is that accurate?
It's yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I only started in June, so I'm not that experienced yet of what we do exactly.
No, I get that.
So I'm still learning.
Yeah, but you're still in struggle of finding a job, and so you do a lot of charity work explaining how they could help people that are looking
yes.
for a job, people that live on welfare, and instead of just paying you to do this, because you give your advice from a certain expertise, from a certain
yes.
base of knowledge that yeah.
Yes.
you have, instead of you paying you to share this knowledge and to share your expertise.
Well, they pay expenses.
Yeah, they pay travel expenses.
Yes, travel expenses.
Yeah, okay.
But, well, it doesn't pay my bills.
No.
Or the rent.
No.
No.
No. That's quite interesting.
Or in a way, it does, because I'm with this government agency.
Yeah, so what the funny thing is, what we're getting at is that the fact that Marijn is now helping a company or an organization, it's not a company, it's more of an organization, that is, its sole existence is there to provide support and help to people with a disability or people that need welfare for one of the reasons that you need welfare for. But instead of paying you to do this, you're still in welfare.
Yeah.
That's strange.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's in a way, it's them paying for... Well, they pay me.
They pay your... Yeah,
yeah, they pay welfare.
But that's
yeah,
not equal to the hours that you work.
It's not real... real
compensation.
No. So, and yet, it costs a lot of time. I really like to do it, because I think it is very important to do that.
Yeah.
But no, I would like to make some profit as well.
Yeah. But I think this was our podcast of this week.
Yeah. Okay.
Please like us, subscribe, share it around, write a comment.
Put comments down below.
Write a review.
Share this with all your friends, but we already said that. And that was our podcast for this week. That's How the Crisp Crunches.